All right, well, we're a little bit past getting started. Good to have everyone here. Welcome back if you've been away for a little while. So we have several who are here who have not been here for a while, so we welcome you. And we're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 30, and we'll just look at that chapter, and we'll be wrapping some things up kind of in Deuteronomy 30. And then kind of 31 to 34 is kind of an extra part, if you will, of Deuteronomy, and me and Jacob will be kind of trading that section off. So I thought what we would do, probably the most important thing we can do tonight, is start in prayer. And I don't know how many of you got to read some of the emails that were sent today, but with Stephanie Roberts, brother and sister-in-law. And so if you're not aware, I thought I'd read kind of that update about them, and then we'll have a prayer especially on their behalf. So this is Brian and Stephanie Roberts, and this is talking about her brother Seth. So it says, Seth is better from having COVID. Tara is worse. They are currently at different hospitals, and the one Seth is at is much better. My mom got called back in by Tara's night nurse at midnight because she had a small rupture in her bag of waters. Thought she had lost the baby, but she didn't. Baby is fine, but her O2 levels are consistently lower today ever with BiPAP. Mom says the doctors are talking about Tara like they don't expect her to make it, so I don't know. So that was the update from Miss Stephanie. And this would be their first baby. The first email said they had a miscarriage. And so she's really not doing well, pregnant with a baby. So I thought the best thing we can do tonight, just set Deuteronomy aside, and let's have a prayer on their behalf. So her brother's name is Seth, and her wife's name is Tara. Our Father in heaven, we come before you, and dear Lord, we pray for the health of Sarah, or Tara, and Seth, especially with Tara being pregnant with a baby. And we pray, dear Lord, that you will be with the doctors, be with everyone surrounding that situation. Be with Stephanie, whose heart is with them. Be with her parents. Be with all the families that are involved in this. And dear Lord, we pray that they will lean on you and come to you, and that this will be a situation where they learn to just fully depend on you. Help us to learn from this as well. Help us to keep beseeching you on their behalf. Dear Lord, we're grateful for the hope that they have in your Son, that we have in your Son. Dear Lord, we pray that you'll give us wisdom and help us to encourage them in any way that we can. Again, we pray, dear Lord, you be with Seth and be with Tara during this difficult time. And we pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Yes, sir.
But she has chosen to this point. She's a nurse, had chosen not to be vaccinated, and it's one of those instances where she has lost some pregnancies, some have unexpectedly ended, and just had a real horrible time trying to get pregnant. They didn't want to harvest fertilized eggs, and go. That was the step they did not do because we think that's a baby once that happens. And they didn't want to do that because those would have to be destroyed, whatever. But her name's Leah, and she's married to Donnie Rager, the preacher's son, David. And I appreciate the same kind of prayers for them because we've been very fortunate here. We haven't had COVID run through the congregation here like it has in many places, and
right.
In Shelbyville.
Right.
And it's been kind of tough. Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of congregations are really struggling. But I wanted to mention Leah Rayburn and David in that same vein.
Good. Thank you.
Can get through this pregnancy and not be affected by COVID. And we don't know what her doctor's telling her. We don't know if she'll get vaccinated or not.
Sure.
Because with the baby, it's kind of tough having lost some.
Right. Right. Okay. Thank you. And we'll certainly be praying for those who are pregnant here, Miss Abby and Macy. Keep them in your prayers as well, especially during this difficult time. So it's exciting time and also kind of a nerve-wracking time. So pray for all involved. Okay, so Deuteronomy chapter 30. And so we are really wrapping up the law in this section of Moses teaching them the law. If you want to just kind of jump ahead, 31 is going to be kind of Moses' last speech, if you will, and then kind of handing the baton over to Joshua. Chapter 32 is the Song of Moses, and I think Brother Jacob will help us with that. Chapter 33 is Moses blessing kind of each tribe. And then 34, Moses dies and Joshua is the new leader. So this is kind of, as you can kind of see, this is kind of wrapping up the law portion of Deuteronomy. So chapter 29 and 30 really belong in one chapter. But it was nice that they split it up because Jacob could start off strong and I could try to keep that momentum going and into chapter 30. But you notice that it's the same speech that starts in 29 that ends in chapter 30. So I think it's really helpful to see these chapters as one. So just a quick review, since it's been a couple of weeks. Just looking at chapter 29, verses 1 through 9, Moses is again trying to get them to think about the God they are serving. This is the God who brought you out of Egypt, and he describes verses 1 through 4 what God did for them in Egypt. Verses 5 and 6, after he got you through Egypt, then he had to take care of you in the wilderness. So verses 5 and 6 talk about that. And once they got through the wilderness, kind of they defeated Sihon and Og. So where were they located? You remember? Where did they reign? What's that?
On the other side of the Jordan.
Good. Absolutely. So yeah, so Moses kind of conquered that land to the east of the Jordan. And that's Reuben and Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh kind of said, this looks really good land for us. We'll station here. Says, okay, but you still have to help us clear out Canaan. They say, all right, well, fine, we'll do that and then we'll come back. So they defeated them. That kind of wraps up a lot of the 40-year history, right? In kind of 1 through 9 there. Then verses 10 to 15, God is making a covenant with you. And he got really specific there in verse 10 and 11. He just kind of names everybody. And very specific, all the way down to the slave who does this job. And then 12 to 15, Moses wants to make sure everyone is making this covenant. This is a big deal. Here we are. You're about to cross over the land. Now let's make this covenant. Verses 16 to 21 is you must be faithful to serve God. You have seen what God does to nations who worship idols, right? Take note of that. Don't do the same thing, right, is the application. And then verses 19 through 21, don't think you can get away with not obeying God. This is a must. This is a requirement. And then 22 to 29 kind of goes through, and this really helps move into chapter 30, is these are all the things that will happen to you if you disobey God. If you kind of say, I'm through with my side of the covenant with God. I'm just going to do my own thing. I'm going to worship who I want to. I'm going to fit in with the nations here.
Verses 22 to 24, who does God compare them to if they were to say, I'm not going to obey you? Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's kind of like the pinnacle, right, of God's judgment. So you will end up like them. Fire and brimstone, and it mentions a couple other cities near there. So God did this. He's going to do this because you forsook the covenant. So just emphasizing that. Then verse 29, the secret things belong to God, but he told us what we need to know. So it's emphasizing not the secret things, but emphasizing he's told you what you need. So therefore you need to do it. Okay, so that goes right into chapter 30. This is what's going to happen to you if you don't obey the covenant. So chapter 30 is not too long, and I think probably the best thing I can do is read the text for you, and then we'll just kind of comment and help each other understand it. So let's read verses 1 through 10, kind of in that connection. If you don't obey, this is going to happen. So verse 1 of Deuteronomy 30, so it shall be, when all these things have come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind in all nations where the Lord your God has banished you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart and soul according to all that I command you today, you and your sons, then the Lord your God will restore you from captivity and have compassion on you and will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. And your outcasts are at the ends of the earth. From there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you back. The Lord your God will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it, and he shall prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. Moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, so that you may live. The Lord your God will inflict all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecuted you. And you shall again obey the Lord and observe all his commandments, which I command you today. Then the Lord your God will prosper you abundantly in all the work of your hand, in the offspring of your body, in the offspring of your cattle, and the produce of the ground. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, just as he rejoiced over your fathers. If you obey the Lord your God to keep the commandments and his statutes which are written in this book of the law, if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and soul. So it's kind of wrapping things up and saying, if you don't want all those bad things that I just talked about happen, keep the commandment. And so verses 1 through 10 is basically a restoration passage. So we've kind of, this is kind of the second time through this circle, if you will. So they tried to enter the land 40 years ago. That didn't go well. So 40 years of wilderness wandering. And now they're going to enter the land. They're going to possess it. But then what's going to happen after that? What is kind of God indicated? What's going to happen? Okay, so they... Yes. Right.
This is a long time before the prophets come to say, this is going to happen soon.
Yeah.
This is hundreds of years.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this would be 300 years or so before Assyria, and then another 500, 600 years before Babylonian captivity. So it's just kind of telling us what's going to happen, but they're going to go back, they're not going to keep the covenant, and then God's going to scatter them. Then in this section, what is God doing? Gathering them from just about everywhere, right? Wherever he scattered them, he's going to bring them back. And notice kind of 1 through 5, I see as kind of the purpose of the blessing and curse. This is why God was doing that. So they will understand their condition of being banished throughout the earth. It's because of their sin. And you shall cause them to return to your heart. You have messed up by serving other gods. This reminds me of the prodigal son, right? Who wanted to, he was at home, he was doing fine. Then he says, I'm going to do it my own way. I know how to live. I'm going to live for myself. And then things don't work out so well. And then he says, things are better at home. So that's what God is doing, punishing them so that they will have a heart that wants to return. So then, you will then return to the Lord, and notice this, you will obey him with all your heart and soul. That pops up three times in this section. And notice there it says in verse 2, at the very end, that you will obey him with all your heart and soul according to all that I command you, you and your sons. So why would it say you and your sons? What is maybe implied in that statement?
That the elders are teaching their children?
Okay, I think it goes back to what we saw in Deuteronomy 6, where when you love the Lord with all your heart and soul, and you have children, that's going to rub off on them, right? And Deuteronomy 6 says you're gonna teach them. You're going to kind of tell them the stories, what God did, how God was helpful to you. So that's important, especially for me as a parent. And do I rub off on my kiddos? Do they see that I love the Lord with all my heart and soul? If I do, I'm going to pass that on, right? That's really important to me. So I need to make sure I'm doing that. One application of many from this. So Deuteronomy 6, kind of 4 through 9, kind of outlines that. First, it says, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then remember what they're doing to their house and their doorpost. And when the kids rise up and when the kids, I mean, they're always talking about God. And that's what we do, right? When we love something, when we're really passionate about something, we can't shut up about it. Well, may that describe us, right? We just love the Lord so much, what he's done, can't help but talk about it. So when you do that, verse 2, verse 3, God will bless his people again. And notice, well, instead of me saying, well, what blessings do you see there in verses 3 through 5? What are some that jump out to you?
Mercy.
Sorry.
Mercy.
Yeah, absolutely. Mercy in bringing them back from captivity, bringing them in. They were scattered throughout everywhere, so God is showing great mercy on them. Compassion, have compassion on them. Did your version say mercy there? Kind of the same idea? Okay, perfect. So I'm reading the New American Standard, so the compassion, mercy, kind of same idea. What else do you see there? Verses 3 through 5, the blessings. Yes, ma'am.
Multiply them above their fathers.
That's amazing. Yeah. That we saw that in the beginning of Exodus, right? Exodus 1, how they just multiplied into this huge nation where Egyptians were kind of worried about it, Pharaoh. So I'm going to bless you even more than I did to them. That's incredible. And I would just kind of, I wouldn't say this is 100%, but maybe the idea there is how God is expanding his family even today, right? That we are God's children. We are his nation, if you will, nation of priests. And so that maybe is being fulfilled here. Yes, ma'am. I don't think so. I don't take it. They're going to come back to the land of their fathers. We may see that kind of later on. But I think it's talking about under kind of Cyrus where they kind of go back to Jerusalem, and in Ezra and Nehemiah, maybe kind of the first application of this, where he brings them back to Canaan land to possess. Okay, also you see there, I will bring you into the land of Canaan, the first part of verse 5 there, into the Canaan to possess it. Not only am I going to bring you back, you get to own it again, possess the land. So just all these blessings. And what does this tell you about God? I think it's really important to ask that question every time we study his word. What does this show you about God? Very forgiving. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. More than we would be. So this is a group of people that blatantly said, I'm going to serve other gods, even though they're not gods at all. After what God had done for them and blessed them, they said, I'm going to turn away from you. And then God scattering them and then just bringing them and blessing them even more than he ever has. Tell you, that God of the Old Testament is powerful, loving, merciful. And I think sometimes that gets overlooked. Anything else through verse 5? Yeah. Yes. Yeah, good point. Right. Good point. Yeah, and God is really easy to love. So that should be an easy task.
Our lesson this week, you know, the lessons on hope in trials, you know, God is going to use a severe trial to purify this group. But his long-term plan is still the same. He's going to keep trying to bring back a remnant so that Christ is going to come to this place.
Good.
But, yeah. You know, he's not going to just, his plan isn't destroyed because they disobeyed. And in our minds, God's plan is not destroyed if we disobey. He just might give our attention.
Good. So, verse 6, you see God doing heart surgery, right? That one way to put it. He's going to circumcise your heart. Does that sound enjoyable? Painful, perhaps? But it's always for the best, right? God, his discipline is to help us, to encourage us to do what's right. And it's always a heart, right? That's where he focuses. And if our heart is good, everything else is going to be fine, right? So he gets to the root of the problem. Whenever someone turns away from God, it's a heart issue. Every time, right? And have you ever had this happen where you kind of know someone who you go to church with and seems to be doing well? I mean, he's there every time. And then it just falls away. And you say, well, how did that happen, right? Well, what do you know about how that happened? It was...
It just seems to me like it's a little
bit of time. Yes. Slowly going away. Absolutely. But his heart wasn't in it. That's right. So, and notice, what is the advantage of this heart surgery? Circumcision of the heart at the end of verse 6?
They'll learn to love God.
Yeah, they will learn to love him. And then at the end of that, so that you may live. This is for your good, right? God is blessing you in doing these things for you so that you may live. So whenever God disciplines us, it's for our good. Sounds extremely painful, no fun, but when my dad was going through his cancer treatments and all that, he said this statement, whatever it takes, if I love the Lord more by the end of it, it was worth it. So I kind of kept that in mind. It's worth it. Whatever happens, if it makes you love God more, that's great. So verse 7, continuing the blessings, Instead of God cursing them, right, at the end of chapter 29, now God's doing that to their enemies. Anyone who curses them or persecutes them. So when they turn back to the Lord, God's going to turn his attention to the nations. And they're going to punish, he's going to punish them. Verse 8, you shall obey again. Their responsibility again to observe all his commandments. Verse 9, God will make them prosper in all the work of your hand. And I have noted here, I'm running out of time, but all of these blessings are a contrast to chapter 28. And how God is kind of cursing them, their hand, whatever their hand is doing, God's going to wipe out the offspring of their body, the cattle, the produce of the ground. All those are kind of reversals from chapter 28. And then notice verse 10 of chapter 30. Mine reads, if you obey the Lord your God. Does anyone have a different translation there? If you obey?
When
you obey? Okay, so kind of the idea of this is going to happen, kind of prophesying. Literally, that means when you listen to your God. It's as though God is speaking, which kind of brings back Genesis 1, right? Let there be light, and boom, there was light. So this is God speaking. And I think that's really helpful to think about. This is God speaking out loud. This is what I want you to do. And there's a lot of power, right? Whenever God speaks, there's a lot of power in that. So when you listen, the Lord your God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this book of law, if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and soul. So just some things that emphasize in this section, we'll move on. Is its emphasis on obedience in this section. You have to obey. Verse 2, verse 8, verse 10. You have to obey. That's your obligation. That's your part of the covenant. And then also, what God desires for his people is to love him with all your heart and soul. That shows up three times in this section. So obey with all your heart and soul. That's 2, 6, and 10. So just really emphasis on God wants our heart. And if our heart is good, everything else will fall into place. It's easy to just go through the motions, right? Just kind of go through the worship and whatever. But if our heart's not in it, we're not pleasing the Lord. Yes, sir.
You know, Moses is writing this over and over. He always starts out, the Lord your God.
Yeah.
You know, so one of the big repetition things is this isn't me. This is God.
Yes. And he's your God. He has picked you out. You are a special people. Okay. This is such a great chapter. So I'm gonna move on. So verses 11 through 14, really helpful passage. I like it a lot. In many ways. And in other ways, it steps on my toes a lot. So verses 11 through 14, for this command which I command you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven for us to get it for us and make us hear it that we may observe it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross the sea for us to get it for us and make us hear it that we may observe it? But the word is very near you in your mouth and in your heart that you may observe it. All right, instead of me saying what I got from this, what sticks out to you in this section? What is God emphasizing?
I have everything for you.
Yes.
It's not that hard.
Yes. Yes.
Just do it.
Just do it. Yeah. Nike took that, right? Just do it. I mean, it's not too complicated. Could God have made it complicated? Absolutely, right?
And we tend to make it complicated.
That's exactly right. He's made it really easy and plain, and yet we want to go off.
This kind of ties into the end of chapter 29, where the secret things belong to God.
Yes.
Same idea here. Just don't overcomplicate it. You know what you need to do. God's told me to tell you what to do, and you heard it.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
I was just going to say that I remember reading, and I can't remember where it was at, but where it talks about God has told the children of Israel to write down on their hearts, write down every day his commandments, and then speak them out and say them to their children every day.
Yeah.
So, and that's, you know, that's just so that they don't forget.
Right. Especially when they're sponges, right? They're little, they can just soak all this in. Have you ever heard someone say, like to a new teaching or something in the Bible, well, I was just never taught this, as that's an excuse that they don't know the Bible stories as well as they should, or maybe my mom and dad didn't never told this story to me. How would those statements relate to this section?
It has to do with their desire of how much they really want to know.
Yes. It's really, isn't that shifting the blame in a lot of ways? If God expects us, anyone can read, right? Well, you know what I mean by that. We can all read this, and God says it's understandable. And it's not too high, it's not too low, it's not so far away that you can't understand it. It's here. And do you desire to read it, to love it, to study it? And it really, that's what makes a great one who knows their Bible well, it's not because they're so smart, usually. It's because they said, this is important, and I'm going to make time to do it. And I need more of that.
You know, the lessons that were on good is the enemy of best. That was the
yes,
week,
that's right.
You know, it's not always a simple thing that you're not chasing.
Right.
That is distracting you from your affections. When I talked in 2 Corinthians 6 about,
right.
You know, your problem is you like other stuff too, that's not in itself simple, too much to recognize that it's not the best use of your time. And the Israelites had that. They went in and everything was given to them.
Yeah.
The farms were there, the animals were there, the fruit, the produce was there, and they just said, wow. You know, let's just get out here and enjoy all this stuff. Forget
right.
about that God thing.
Jacob, you can help me on this. Is Deuteronomy the most quoted Old Testament book in the New Testament?
Yes.
That's powerful to me.
And Jesus quoted Deuteronomy
more than any other book. More than any other book. This passage is quoted in Romans chapter 10. You probably turned there and looked at that. We don't have time to do that tonight. But Paul is making that same point here. And really the application is, how much do you desire God's word? I'll tell you just a really quick story, and then we'll move on with two choices we need to make, life or death. There was a, I won't name names, but there's a kid, and he was probably high school, junior high, and he just kind of said, I'm just going to read the Bible every day. And I'm just going to make myself do it. And then he got to the point where he didn't have to make himself do it. It was just kind of a natural, it was a habit. But then it was about 1 or 2 in the morning. And his parents saw his light on in his room. And you know, well, that's weird. Normally, you know, it's not one to stay up late, so they kind of just checked in on him, and they saw him reading his Bible. They said, well, I didn't read my Bible today, and I just kind of woke up and just understood, oh, I didn't do that today. And there he was, 1, 2 in the morning, reading the Bible. So if we do that, if we make ourselves do that self-discipline, tell you what, we're going to understand, we're going to learn the Bible pretty well. I'll tell one more story. I'll brag on my wife. She was converted because of a friend in junior high. Invited her to church. Her family is all not Christians. And she just got a hold of the Bible, and she just started reading it and studying it. And it wasn't too long where she caught up to all of her peers in church, and they were just amazed. Well, how do you know this story? You weren't grown up in it. Oh, I just read it. I just studied it. I looked at it, and I read it. I studied it. And I tell you, she's one of the best Bible students I know. And she didn't have the advantage of her mom and dad reading her the Bible story and understanding all those. She just said, this is important, and I'm going to read it. I'm going to study it. And she started out just kind of, her notes were basically retelling the story that she read. And that's sometimes what it takes. I'm just going to try to learn this. And then it just grows from that. But she didn't make the excuse, never does, that, well, that's, my parents didn't do this, or I didn't grow up with this, or she just did it. And thanks be to God, he wrote it in such a way that we can all understand it. It just ends up being, do we desire it? So that's a powerful, powerful statement. Okay, so 15 to 20. This is a great way to end any sermon, right? Any speech is you have two choices, right? Life or death. Can you remember any other person in the Bible who did this? At the kind of end of his life, I'll give you one kind of a clue. End of his life and saying, you have some choices to make. What's that?
Joshua.
Yeah. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Also reminded me of Jesus at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Be like the wise man and not the fool. Both heard the sermon. Who hears these words of mine, then do it. Put it into action. So if Moses, Joshua, and Jesus, those are good company. Good way to wrap up a sermon and just really emphasizing this is what it's all about. Yes, ma'am. Yes.
As I'm reading this, these are his words. And
yes.
I think about that sometimes.
That's helpful. How does that help you, if I can put you on the spot?
It just helps me, it makes me feel close to the Lord.
Sure.
As I'm reading his words, I feel like I'm having communication with him. I'm hearing what he says. And sometimes if I don't understand it, I have got to find it.
Yes.
And I'm going to concordance it. I go all over other passages in the Bible just so that I can really fully understand what is this saying. Yeah. And then when I do get it, and I feel like sometimes I would pray about it, so help me understand this. When I do get it, I feel like I have got a prize. I feel like I have got that pearl that's in the field, you know?
Sure.
And I found that pearl, and then I get excited about it, and I can't wait to share it with someone.
Yeah.
I want to tell someone about it. A lot of people don't want to hear it. But
yeah.
I anyways.
Thank you for sharing. That's helpful. Inspiring. So when we do read it, this is God speaking to us. Our job is to listen, obey, do. So we'll see that in this last section. He'll give us kind of, this is our job. So he kind of makes it really, really clear, simple. So verse 15, I've set two paths before you. One is life and prosperity. The other is death and adversity. So again, if you look at the idea of life and prosperity, and just looking at this chapter, this whole chapter has been about life and prosperity. These things that I just mentioned are yours. So verse 3, restoration from captivity. Verse 3 and 4, being gathered. Verse 5, bringing to a land to possess. Verse 5, he will prosper you
and multiply you, verse 6, so that you may live. That's life. And then verse 9, God will prosper you abundantly. All these things are yours, right? There's one path, life and prosperity. The other is death and adversity. Think about all the adversity God has promised in just chapter 28 alone, all those curses, what God will do if you don't obey him. So again, no one in their right mind would choose, well, this is a really tough decision. I'm kind of leaning towards death and adversity. I don't know which. No, it's a pretty easy, straightforward, choose life. He's going to make that clear at the end. And so, to me, this is, I got Proverbs a lot on my mind. and this is very similar to Proverbs. Here's two choices. If you take this choice, this is where it leads. That's kind of the book of Proverbs in a nutshell. If you choose to not obey me, death and afflictions. If you choose to obey me, life and prosperity. Here's your two choices. And this is where they lead. So verse 16, the way of life. Notice the three things we need to concentrate on doing. Love the Lord, walk in his ways, and keep his commandments, statutes, and judgments. Love the Lord, walk in his ways, keep his commandments. And then he gives you three blessings. If you do that, just again, all this motivation to obey him, you will live, you will multiply, God will bless you in the land he's giving you. So verses 17 and 18 is the way of death, if your heart turns away. And again, a lot of emphasis in this chapter about the heart. That's where it all begins. So what are we feeding our hearts? What are we listening to? What are we looking at? What are we feeding our hearts, right? Garbage in, garbage out. What are we feeding our kids, right? Kind of spiritually speaking. Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart, for from it flow the springs of life. And notice it says, if you are drawn away to worship other gods. I think it was Miss Sherry said we were kind of little by little, we're taken away. That's the idea here. We're drawn away. And as Andy would ask us, where do our affections lie? And he stole that from the Apostle Paul, right? Where are our affections? What do we love? And if it's not God, it's going to show up. It will show up. Punishment is imminent. You will surely perish. Your days will be shortened in the land you're entering. In the first part of verse 19, God calls heaven and earth as witnesses. My thought on that is heaven and earth are going to be around as long as we are. As long as man is here, those are good witnesses. So they'll always be here. They'll always have that. And notice they're calling heaven and earth as witnesses against them. Then the latter part of verse 19 into 20 is encouragement to choose life. God has done his job above and beyond. He has set before them life and death. God set before them blessing and the curse. So choose life. Isn't that cool chapter? Choose life. It will mean life for them and for their descendants. And how do they choose life? I've been talking too much. How do they choose life in verse 20? Saved by the bell. All right, so three things: by loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, and by holding fast to him. Depending on how well you choose life determines how long you're going to live in this land. So again, love the Lord, obey him, hold fast to him. Don't let him go. Cool chapter. I hope I have whetted your appetite to reread this chapter, study it again and again. What a great way to wrap up this section. We'll look at, Lord willing, chapter 31 next week. We'll get Joshua commissioned, and then we'll set things up for the Song of Moses in chapter 32. Thank you for your good comments.